hearts to take this bread and cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just whatever you want to do. Okay. Turn yourself on.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. We just thank God for, you know, as Pastor Stewart has already stated, we thank the Lord for being here today.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here. How about you?
Yes.
All right. I'm glad to know Jesus. How about you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I'm so glad to be here with Christ Our Shepherd Church. And I not only speak for myself, but for my church family, those who are here. We just thank God for being here and for the spirit that is in here.
Yes.
You know how young people have a habit of saying, you know, and I guess it's rappers too. They have a habit of saying, who's in the house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they say, Mookie's in the house, you know, and they say, Jerome's in the house.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that Jesus is in the house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. And I just have, I don't even want to just be belaboring or be too long, but I do have something that I know the Lord wants me to share with you. But before I do that, I'm going to ask my mother, who we affectionately call Mother White, to just get some things done for me. And I'm going to ask her to just sing a little song for me. And she's going to come, she's going to sing, and then I'm going to bring the word that I have for you. Is that all right?
Amen.
All right, cool. You, just to give you a feel for the word that I believe the Lord wants me to share today, St. Matthew chapter 9 really helps us with this, because St. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38, and then I'll also just touch on 1 Samuel chapter 14. Actually, we'll go to chapter 13, verse 19 through 23. But in St. Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, we have here our Lord and Savior Jesus dealing with serious issues. And as he looks around, we see in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And if I was just to go back to 1 Samuel, if you have that, that's fine. If you don't, you can just listen to the word. But 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting at verse 19, it says, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattocks. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. The reading of the word. Amen. as short as I could say it. Not only here in the scriptures that we have looked at today, but even in our lives, even as we look in our community, sometimes we're faced with the issue that the problem and the work is greater than the people. Sometimes you feel like there's more work to do than there are people to do it. And specifically as we deal with Saul, facing this battle, we understand that the strategy of the enemy is to move before we oftentimes are aware that there is a battle. Sometimes we're the last to know that there's a problem. And by the time we realize that there is a problem, the strategic plans have been set so that we are unarmed for the battle that we face. And specifically, that was the situation. So as Saul, even though he has been in charge for a minute, he has not necessarily been strategic in what he needed to do, because the Philistines, already understanding the situation, made it clear that if we're going to have power over these people, the best way to do it is make it so that they cannot sharpen their tools. And whether you know it or not, the situation in cities across this nation, even in this city, is that many of the people who sharpen the people of the city have been moved out of the city. And what oftentimes happens is not only true here, but even as we go down the line and we see people like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's strategy is similar to that of the Philistines. And he would take the best and the brightest and those who can sharpen other people and remove them. And oftentimes that is the strategy to bring down a people. It is to remove those that sharpen the people. And I don't know if you look around the city and look around the nation, many times what is happening is that the tools needed to build the city up are missing. People are defenseless. Not because they innately are inferior or incapable of doing things, but there has been strategic moves to remove blacksmiths from the area. And without blacksmiths, you can't sharpen your tools. Without blacksmiths, you can't even do what you need to do with your tools so that you can take care of your vineyards and your land around, because somebody else is in charge of sharpening your tools. And if somebody else is in charge of sharpening your tools, if they mean to oppress you, why would they ever sharpen your tools enough so that you can come against them? Yeah. It's a problem when your oppressor controls your tools. Yeah. And I want to really deal with the issue of how would you feel if you knew you were in a battle? And once you understand you're in a battle and you understand that everything is stacked up against you, how would you feel? What would be going through your mind with you when you finally came to the realization that I'm in a battle, but you understood that I'm not equipped for the fight that I'm in? And a lot of times when you look around and you see the work and you see the toil that is necessary, you see the battle that you're facing, sometimes you feel overwhelmed. But I'm so glad I'm in the right church today. Amen. I feel like I'm in the right church today because I feel like the word that the Lord has been dealing with me about is something that is similar to what the Lord has been dealing with you about. Yes. And that is that a lot of times when you see a big problem, the first instinct is to attack the problem. That's right. To attack. Since there's so much to do, let me go ahead and get to work. But that's not necessarily what God wants us to do. Because the work is too great. The hill is too big. Sometimes the things to do are too much for us as individuals. But I'm so glad that we have an example, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he gives us a principle. Even when we seem like, or we feel like we're in over our heads and the problem is too much and we need to go ahead and attack the problem, he says we should go about it this way. Don't go to the harvest. You need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because whether you know it or not, you and your finite ability cannot figure out how to solve any problem that is in front of you. However, we've been given an awesome opportunity to have relationship with the one who can fix anything. Whether you are in over your head or you see the problem and you think you have insight as to what to do, we can always pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
Because he has a habit of sending help.
Yes.
That's right.
For whatever it is that you need. Whatever it is that you seek to have answers for, we have been given the awesome privilege to seek the Lord of the harvest. And this is another thing. As we pray to the Lord of the harvest, whatever issues that there are with us, I've come to find out in human relationships that it's really all about our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Our relationship as we seek God first. Our relationship with God can be something that affects our relationship with people. And even as we deal with whatever issue might be faced, even as we deal with issues of race between race, it's really about our relationship with God.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because as we seek a closer walk with God,
yeah,
through his son Jesus,
yeah,
he begins to deal with us about us.
Yeah.
Because before we can really deal with somebody else, we got to first deal with us. And as he ministers to us, as we seek him, he then does some things to bring us closer together with other people. For a while, I've been dealing with the fact that a lot of people look at church people as people who look at problems and to escape problems run inside the church. See, activists who are out there doing it, who are busy putting their hand to the plow and really attacking the problem. Their only problem is that they don't necessarily always have a relationship with the Lord of the harvest.
Yes.
And the people who have a relationship with the Lord of the harvest,
right,
don't always go out and to attack the problem.
That's right.
We have this dichotomy. We have the people who are active not having the help of the Lord, and the people who have the help of the Lord not being active in the problem.
Yeah.
If we could ever just bring the two together so that we seek the Lord of the harvest, and as result, you got to understand this, because if you really pray to God, if you really have a relationship with God, if you really commune with him, there's no way that you can leave a time with him where he shows you something and you're not moved to go out and do something about what he shows you. So the first step to going out into the street and making a difference is to have some time with the Lord of the harvest. Because he's in charge of dispatching us where he wants us to go. I want you to understand that the Lord of the harvest wants to dispatch us. But first he wants to spend some time with us. And as he spends some time with us, he will dispatch us where we fit best. I don't know where to go. I might go to Southeast. I might go to Northwest. I don't know where to go, because there's so many problems. But the Lord, who is in charge of strategically planting his army so that the kingdom of God can forcefully advance, he knows where to put me.
Amen.
I don't know if I would have automatically moved to Potomac Gardens. I don't know if I would have automatically been ministering to who I'm ministering. But the Lord of the harvest knows where I'm supposed to be. And not only that, he knows where you're supposed to be. And it all starts not with attacking the issues that we see. It begins with attacking our relationship with God and aggressively seeking to be with him And as we spend our time with him, whatever it is in me that hinders me from being who I'm supposed to be to my brother or my sister, God will attack in me. Whatever problem I got with you, God will deal with me about that as I seek him. Whatever problem you have with me, God will attack that as we spend time with him. By the time God finishes attacking me and attacking you, I will fall in love with you.
All right, preach.
Hallelujah. And I really see that God wants to build a love between us that causes us to be like, I guess the thing that comes to mind is that even in the situation where only Saul and Jonathan had swords, one of the things that I noticed is that Jonathan left out from the company of his father without telling him. And the Bible shows us that Jonathan decided to go ahead on the attack mode and to attack the problem. But as he decided to do that, his armor bearer, hearing what Jonathan decided to do, says, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Heart and soul.
Amen.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And it's not only good to know that the Lord is on your side, because greater is he that is inside of us than he that is in the world. And if God be for you, I don't care how big the problem is.
Yes,
yes. He's bigger than the whole world against you. If God be for you. But sometimes, even though I know God is for me, it feels good to know that I have an actual person I can see who's for me as well. And as we seek God, I really believe that some issues that concern you, some issues that concern me, that God will use our relationship with him to cause our heart to be with each other. I want you to understand, it's not because of my psychological or historical background, because historically there would be no reason for me to try to jail with everybody in here. But spiritually, God is doing something to my heart. And because of what God is doing to my heart, I want you to understand, even those I've never met and talked to, my heart is with you.
Yes.
My heart is with you. And as you pray, there's something, a sense in me that's saying, somebody's with me.
Amen.
Somebody's with me.
Yes.
And as that grows, that might be the case with us, but that's not necessarily the case all across this city. But as we continue to pray, I really believe that the revival that is to come across not only this city, but this nation, cannot be separated from the issues of race, from the issue of reconciliation, from the issues that separate us. But it can only be attacked as we are reconciled with God.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 I didn't have much to say.
No, you said it.
But that what I had to say, I believe I have said.
Yes.
And I hope that as we get ready to seek God and to just fellowship with him and celebrate what he's done for us, that as we celebrate this, it will motivate us as we leave to do the same thing he's done for us out there.
Yes.
Because we're the only Bible that many people will ever see.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And they're looking for somebody to sacrifice. They respect that. Yes. They look for that. And that will be the bridge that will help them to see what we're talking about as it relates to this cross and this Christ. God bless you. We're ready to follow with Pastor Stewart and to celebrate the Lord's death and his sacrifice. And we're ready also to celebrate what he wants to do with us.
Yes. Yes.
I'm with you.
With you.
I'm with you.
pray, please.
Now, just stay standing.
Church, what Frazier obviously didn't know this morning, how many guys got a little goosebump when he said 1 Samuel 14? What you didn't know this morning was that was the passage in the Word that the Lord gave us at our men's retreat. For that, that was the Word.
Amen.
And so to hear that this morning, that is, I want to encourage you, that is the Word of the Lord.
Amen.
Line by line.
Amen.
And you see how kind and gracious the Lord is. That means there's something here that is not a happenstance word. It is the Word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Frazier to pray over us as we stand here. And as he said he is with us, I want to say publicly, you know, I've already started falling in love with you. You know that. and just Frazier to just agree that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
But we have made the choice of a consecrated life and consecrated relationships. And such as we have, we give to one another. And as I'm hearing the word this morning, I ought to tell you as a brother, I'm so glad you're with us. I am so relieved that you're with us. I just thank you so much. I want you to pray over us. We need you to pray over this church. Use your mic.
Father, we just come to you, Lord, and we just thank you.
Lord.
We thank you, God, for your awesome ability to continue to bring people together. We thank you, Lord, that you do not divide.
That's right.
But you've come, oh God, to bring who you want to bring together.
Yeah.
For your purpose. It's all about you. And so, Father, we humble ourselves and we come and we seek you, God. And we ask you, Lord, that even today in this gathering, in this congregation, Lord, that you would allow your finished work to be manifest in us. It's not so much that we have to accomplish anything as it is we have to be open to you so that you might manifest that which you've already accomplished through your blood and through your power and through your ability. So, Father, we pray right now over this people.
Lord, need you.
God, that you would touch them where they are.
Jesus.
You know where they are. You know where their heart condition is. You know those things that they need in terms of falling in line with the exact plans of this strategist that you have planted here. I pray, God, that you would allow this congregation to work as an army.
Jesus.
Doesn't matter how many it is.
No.
All that matters is that you're with them.
Amen, Lord.
And as we seek to do your will, God, I pray, Lord, that you would give them more power than they've ever had before.
Lord,
that you would anoint them, God, because it is the anointing that will give them the ability to destroy every yoke of bondage that they come across. I pray for every marriage in this place in the name of Jesus. I pray for every child in the name of Jesus. I pray for every elderly person in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, as you dispatch them, oh God, that there will be multiplication in this army as they go out, not to be served, but to serve.
Yes,
I pray, God, that as they go out, that they would be part of a transforming of the city so that their service would become to be evident in their Christianity.
Yes.
Lord, let their Christianity be contagious in the name of Jesus. Let an awesome power move through this place so that lives are changed. And let changed lives be an aphrodisiac to other people who do not know you. Increase the amount of interaction that they have with un-Christians, with non-Christians, oh God. Increase the interaction that they have with people who are bound by the power of the enemy. But allow the power of God, which is in us, to overpower the power of the enemy, which is out there. Bring about revival. Bring about change, but first do it in them.
Yes, Lord.
By your name, Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And then stretch your hands out towards Frazier. Stretch your hands out to him. And Father, we as a church, we respond, Lord. Freely we have received, therefore freely we give. And we seek the blessing of Pastors Frazier and Pastor Danette and Pastor Cleo and Lionel and the leadership team there. at Faith Temple and the ministry you have planted there, Lord. Let it continue to be a sure, deep, and a firm planting of the Lord. And we put it on record this day that you have given us a heart to seek each other's good, Lord. Therefore, we submit to you the respective resources which are of you and not of ourselves. It does not have our name on it, Lord. It has your name on it, holy and consecrated to the Lord. And we pray, Lord, we want to receive as a church a heavy deposit of intercession and love and concern for this fellowship and for this body. Yes. And Lord, we thank you that we have already received and been taught of you this morning. And therefore, Lord, we submit ourselves to be led and to receive of your word through those who you've put us alongside and also those you've sent before us, Lord, in this community. And so we bless your church. We bless this flock in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church. May the name of Jesus increase in this place. May you get yourself a mighty name in this body of believers. And Lord, I just want to add a PS this morning. I want to pray, Lord, publicly for Frazier and for Danette, Lord, as he teaches by day in the district school system, Lord. I know the calling you've put on his life and the passions and longings in his heart. And I'm asking you, Lord, in your chronology, in your time, will you release him into the full-time ministry that you have called him to? And we ask, Lord, that wherever the release of these resources is going to come, whoever you're going to use and how, we submit ourselves, Lord, to be available to your voice. I pray, Lord, you will release workers out of this church as sharp threshing instruments in the very harvest that he has referred to this morning. So, Lord, do good to him and his household. We speak Jehovah Jireh over this household. And as you bring them, Lord, to this brink, when they will continue to have to walk by faith and not by sight, we declare, Lord, in advance a firm place for their feet and a firm place of provision in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we seek each other's good. Hear our cry. Hear our prayer. We recognize no other captain of the hosts. And now, Lord, will you accept as we take this bread and take this cup together, Lord? It is our demonstration to you that you are the one in charge here.
Yes, God.
It is your house.
Yes.
It is your table. You are the one in the house. We have come, all of us, equally as invited guests. None of us had a ticket to this place, Lord. We've all come as sons and daughters. And therefore, as we bow the knee, Lord, will you look upon us and be pleased with the work of your Son, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 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 Just want to invite the worship team to come forward as we're just going to take communion together at the close of our service. I'm just going to invite those who are going to be ministering communion to come forward. You may be seated. And I'd like to invite Frazier and Danette are going to be serving, and Claire and Lionel and the other elders who are coming. If you would just come down here and stand as couples this side of the rail, please, near me. Church, I'm aware of the time this morning, but we're going to serve communion at the altar rail before you leave, because it's a demonstration of how we come to Jesus one by one, and to invite you to receive the bread and receive the cup. We're not participating in extended ministry this morning at the rail. If you need someone to stand with you at a particular place of prayer, there'll be prayer teams both left and right of the platform here, either before or after you've taken communion, if you just want to go and get a little more extended time of prayer. If there's a place where there's a burden that needs to be borne and shared with you by another, if you need the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands, I just invite you to avail yourself of the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just wait on one another as you come. If you at some point need to leave, feel free to do so. But as the worship is led this morning, if you need to sit and commune before you come and take the bread and cup, please do so. If after you've taken, you want to move just into two or three, just in a continued time of thanksgiving and intercession, do so. Or as you find one another from different churches, by the way, I also want to bless those who are here this morning from Hope Community Church that meets in this place. We are so needy of you and your fellowship, and there's no more powerful place for us to express what Jesus has done in this cup and in this bread. Amen. Amen. So nothing doubting with full assurance of faith. Come. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come. I may be talking to someone this morning. I don't know what your walk with the Lord is. I don't know what's happened to you this week. But isn't it a relief that there's a way of escape from that which dogs our path and that which clogs our spiritual arteries? And there is a place of confession and a place of receiving the gift of forgiveness this morning through repentance. And you can come just as you are without one plea, but that this blood was shed for thee. There may be someone here this morning, you don't even know why you're here this morning. You may have wondered in. It may be a long time since you felt your heart warmed by the love of Christ. Come. I call upon you to come. Come back to Jesus. Come. As you bow the knee, discharge all that is not of Jesus and receive all of his goodness. So I invite you to come, nothing doubting. All who are thirsty, come. All who are hungry, come. And now wait upon one another as we serve in the name of the Lord Jesus. Commune with the Lord. If you need to sing and worship and pray, do so.